I would like to quote just one line of Walter Benjamin at this point in one of his works where he says, it is easy to celebrate the well-known and famous, but the unknown ones are those who form history.
1940, the Germans eventually broke through the Maginot Line and began to invade France. And as most people now, I was on the run. Frenchmen were on the run. Everybody was on the run because obviously the Jews and people who felt politically threatened were on the run. But even the Frenchmen also became refugees.
Boches sont là, the Boches are there.
It was what the French, which we learned later on were concentration camps, but it was a detention place for undesirable foreigners and things like that, which meant they were Jewish.
Fleeing out of his camp, always being just a few miles ahead of the German occupying army. Crossing a bridge on the other side, it wasn't occupied, so it was a matter of your life whether you could cross the bridge or not, cross a river. And then a unit of French officers standing there telling you that you cannot cross the bridge and aiming their guns at you. Why? I have no answer. Nobody has an answer, but it happened to hundreds of people. Marseille was just totally full of refugees.
And then I found a place in the old port.
The refugees stayed often in small hotels, whorehouses, apartments, or rooms that were rented under different names.
Later we moved to a school that had been evacuated for the refugees.
Talking, of course, about how one could get out of it, what the future might be.
And everybody tried to get overseas, to get out of France, just out of France.
Each one thought that he would be the next victim. So there was a lot of pressure.
We had to leave, and we just did not know where to go. It was very, very, very difficult.
I would hang out in the harbor, in the port of Marseille, looked at those boats and wondered, how could I get illegally onto that boat to get out? Because I never made it.
A number of committees helping refugees in one way or another.
In Marseille were committees that helped refugees. One of them was the Unitarian Committee.
Where there were consuls and consulates. And the aim for my brother and myself was to get to Portugal and then to England.
You had to have a Portuguese transit visa because the Portuguese wanted to be darn sure that you didn't stay there. They would let you flee through Portugal, but it had to be a transit visa so that they were sure you would leave. To have a Spanish transit visa because the Spaniards wanted to be sure that you wouldn't stay there. Then you needed a French exit visa, and that you couldn't get because it was going through the new French government that was collaborating with the Germans.
You had to have, before the Portuguese would let you in, we think there were a lot of collaborators in Portugal, a lot of them. Before they would let you in, you had to have a visa saying that you were going somewhere else because so many people were there, were overpopulating the... I mean, it was unbelievable. You couldn't get a hotel anywhere.
The United States visa was like £1 million dowry or £10 million dowry, a United States visa. Only a very few got it. And when I went to the United States consulate, they told me, yes, you can have a visa, but you have to wait. It's a waiting list for Polish people for 10 years. To get a Portuguese visa was very easy. You just go and you get it, and let's all do it. So I had all the visas done for Spain and Portugal. Now I had to go to Vichy for exit visas.
A lot of bribing went on. A lot of gangsters were helpful, let's put it that way. And a lot of people with ties and all were gangsters too, I have to tell you. And then a lot of wonderful people who did wonderful things, did dangerous things. And
in the armistice between Germany and France, the French had agreed to surrender any German or former German citizen to the Germans upon demand. So that meant that we were sitting there, and whenever the German government pleased, we would be delivered to the Gestapo.
Varian Fried had volunteered to go to Marseille in order to help many of the refugees who found themselves in this unoccupied zone, controlled by Vichy, the Vichy government, and indirectly by Nazi Germany, to help some of the threatened intellectuals, artists, writers, to get out of France.
The initiative to that committee was taken by some people who were really German refugees and who were already in the United States. Fry and a number of other Americans joined and did a lot of work. They
first thought he would stay for 1 month. He was operating out of a hotel room called the Hotel Splendide. Word got out that there was this American who came with visas, and very soon, of course, he found himself besieged by people who came to see him. It got to a point where he could not handle this very well, and therefore he was looking about for people who could help him in his task.
And Hirschfeld, we called him Beamish, very, very brilliant and enormous help to Fry. In fact, he was, I think, a lot of the, for example, the way over the mountains, he had been in the French, in the Spanish Civil War. He knew how to get over the mountains. A lot of things that he did were brilliant, and he had a lot of courage.
The organization operated on two levels. First of all, on an overt level, that means it dispensed help to people who didn't have any money, and therefore it would give them funds to subsidies. And at the same time, it tried to, if they could legally, and if not illegally, to provide papers to people who were in danger. The organization helped between over 2,000 people to escape from France in one way or another. 1941, Varian Fry was expelled from France. By this time, the Vichy government no longer issued any exit visas. Therefore, you could not leave France, and the Spaniards wouldn't let you in. So the trick was to get people over the mountains into Spain, because then you were legal. And so this is precisely what happened.
We finally decided and told Fry that we would go down for a short time and try to organize a route for the refugees who had to cross like that.
Jonathan and Lisa Fitgo. And what they would do is people would come there and stay with him as if they were subletting a room or something. Then they would go out into the fields on a picnic or something, show them how to get across the mountains. And
we stayed for 7 months and took the people over. I went down to the border and got in touch with the mayor of one of the border towns, Banyuls, who was very willing to help us. But he then described a route to me where we would be relatively safe, but it would be much farther to walk. The real risk would be not to try. That it has to be organized. Now, for the last months, people were just streaming to the border, and then they didn't know what to do and where to go. And parts of them got arrested, some in France, some in Spain. We found places where they could stay overnight without the police coming and asking for their papers. We housed them, we fed them, because you couldn't get any food without stamps. So we had to organize all that. And then we took them over the mountains, if the weather was right. We went at the most 3 times a week with refugees across the mountains. We felt that more would be too obvious. We were closed so that we looked like the vineyard workers and the owners of the vineyards. We left in the dark, as they did. We did in order to mix with them, but also because the customs officers could not see us in the dark or distinguish us from the villagers. So we went with them and we became friends with them. Fear is something it is a repetitious situation, is something that you do get used to.
Quite difficult to make it across the border.
I know someone and he will guide me over the Pyrenees, he said. Give me the name too. We are also, we are refugees. Help us. He said, okay.
We had decided to make it to the Spanish border and to cross the Spanish border by ourselves. We made it all the way to the Spanish border, started already ascending on the French side the mountain when we were intercepted by 2 French gendarmes, thrown into the local jail of this gendarmerie.
We went to Arciotec. There the guide was standing. And we started with our trek over the Pyrenees, which took 2 days and 2 nights.
We did go to Portugal, to Lisbon, where all the committees were again, taking care of the people. There was chaos as usual, which was very natural because the Gestapo was catching people there.
All kinds of nationalities, every country in Europe. And there was an accumulation of a couple of thousand of Jewish people. And the police had to clear us out somehow or another. And we were allowed in Portugal to have 1 escudo a day from the Polish consulate. And 1 escudo a day from the Jewish-American joint.
We stayed in Portugal longer than we would have liked to.
All of us had visas for 2 weeks in Portugal, transit visas. And after 2 weeks, they extended for another 2 weeks and another 2 weeks. So we had usually to go practically every 2 weeks over the year to the Portuguese consul, police station.
The boat for which we had been so much hurried to go was going without us because it was overcrowded.
The boat, I still remember, was a Nyassa, N-Y-A-S-S-A-H. It took over 2 weeks because we had to cross minefields and go around them. I was always in the bottom of the boat because we were filled with people. This was filled with refugees. And I was vomiting all the time. I was sick all the time. And everybody had a story to tell that was pretty horrible.